Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Focus podcast. I'm your host, Singin' Lisa. This is the place where we inspire, inform, empower, and impact. I'm glad you're here. I have the opportunity to put the focus on people doing great things in the community and beyond. Today, we will meet Dr. Title, a local dentist born and raised in New Orleans. He's going to talk about how he combines his passion for caring for others along with his love of music. He's going to share his thoughts on surviving Hurricane Katrina, his current practice today, and how he feels about the current pandemic that we're in. We're all in this together, and we'll find out exactly how he's making it through. And if you stick around, you just might get a little taste of New Orleans music. So let's meet our guest right now.
Dr. Hilton Title. I'm a general dentist here in the Touro Uptown area, and I've been a dentist for about 34 years. I graduated from all public schools, from McDonough 39 to Gregory Junior High to John F. Kennedy to UNO to LSU Dental School. So I'm a born and raised, never left, and I love the water here.
Well, love it. Well, you are all in, as they say, in New Orleans, and it is absolutely a pleasure to meet you. And of course, when we think about New Orleans, there are, more than 300 years worth of memories, but you have a great stake in this great town because you've been here, like you said, and you've been, it's just in your blood. And I know we've heard the music, so we know that the music obviously has impacted you greatly, and you've had your own experience through this COVID-19 situation that we've been going through for the last several months. And so tell us a little about your beginning in terms of your practice and how things, you know, brought you to where you are.
Well, my father was a veterinarian, and I looked at the way he practiced and I really respected the way he did things, but I wasn't a real cat person. So I kind of was a little bit, I was a scaredy cat, so to say. So as a kid, I just kind of ventured a little bit away from veterinary, but I liked the tradition of seeing patients, friends, families on an ongoing basis. So that's why I picked dentistry, because it's a people kind of environment. It's a great profession, and I like helping people a lot.
Well, it's definitely an up close and personal experience because you get to see everything going on inside that helps everybody to have that great smile that we all enjoy having. And so I know you've had some great personal experiences, and you've probably helped a lot of people feel a lot better about themselves. And so that is worth words that can't even be expressed, I'm sure, when they get that smile they've always wanted. So it must be rewarding to really help somebody have good dental health as well as achieve, you know, that aesthetic beauty that, means a lot to a person.
Oh, for sure. I mean, yeah. You got to have your teeth. I mean, it's what it's all about, you know, from nutrition to your mind, psyche, you know, having nice teeth and just from a health standpoint, keeping your teeth healthy, you know?
Absolutely. Were there outstanding circumstances or certain persons that you said, okay, this is a big one. If we can make this work, this person's life is going to change. Have you had those?
Well, yeah. I mean, I had some artists in the past that were great, great people in the community and made some great teeth for these people. And, you know, they were smiling from ear to ear. And, you know, people that have heart valve problems, if their teeth go bad, it can cause their heart to go bad. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times you're saving their lives by getting all that infection out of their body, you know. Right. So So we want to make sure people are healthy and happy with their teeth, for sure.
Yeah. So when it comes to dental care, I know that it's very important to start even when the babies kind of first enter the world in understanding how to take care of the gums and how to really get that good, you know, practice started. So what do you tell a new family that's starting with their newborn, you know, when should they come and see you first, or where should they begin with
that? I would say when the first teeth start coming through.
Yes.
That's when you got to start paying attention. Mm-hmm. It's good to let them come to the dentist and and let us take a look, make sure things are developing properly and making sure that they're giving good nutrition at home, not letting them go to sleep with the bottle, you know, like milk and sugary things. You don't want to get those cavities because your teeth are important, even the baby teeth.
Yeah.
Primary teeth are important, just about as important as the permanent teeth, because those set the stage for
it's
later
all about
on.
How you get started. So, yeah, and when persons have those cavities, is it always usually from sugar or primarily?
Well, it's hard to say, but the less sugar that you put on your teeth, you know, it's good to drink water.
Yeah.
Water is very important.
We've heard a lot about water.
Water is so important.
Yeah.
With every meal, drink water, water, water. And if you can, drink the city water. If you think it's good, try to drink the city water because it has fluoride in it.
Okay.
And fluoride has really made a big difference. I'd say fluoride is one of the top 10 medical advances of the 20th century. And we had a bunch of advances last century, but fluoride has aided so much in healthcare, because if you have bad teeth, then your whole body can go bad.
Mm-hmm.
And fluoride prevents cavities.
Wow.
So a lot of people do not get cavities as much as they used to. They'll get them later, perhaps, but,
yeah,
you know, people my age and even older, you know, we all had cavities from the get-go, whether we brushed or did anything, just because we just have little bugs, little bacteria getting those crevices in your teeth. So if you get a cavity, get it filled as soon as possible. Don't let it get worse.
Wow, that is really good information to know, because a lot of people, I guess, just having a great smile coming up or looking healthy, you really might not know kind of the underlying activity going on. And so you're saying because of the bacteria, there may be some things happening before we even realize it.
Yeah, there could be bad gum disease going on under and around those teeth. So a lot of people aren't going to the dentist sometimes until they're wisdom teeth start bothering them. That's like totally crazy from what it used to be 40, 50 years ago. I mean, everybody had a cavity by the time they were seven or eight.
Right.
It was just a fact of life. I mean, it was an oddity to not have a cavity.
Wow.
By the time you were, you know, eight, 9, 10 years old. Nowadays, parents think they did something wrong with their child if they get a cavity.
Right.
So you just have to accept for what the situation is.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely, you got to floss your teeth. Got to keep them brushed and flossed, and you should still see your dentist regularly, because, like I said, you can get gum disease, and that can cause you to lose your teeth. And of course, no smoking. Smoking's not good.
Absolutely. It's amazing to know the connection that it has to the rest of the body, even though we think, oh, it's just my mouth, but it really is the opening to what leads to the rest of the problems that can develop when you don't take care.
Because definitely smoking's now the leading cause of tooth loss.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not cavities, because we don't get the cavities as much because of the fluoride that's in the water that we're drinking. And it's in fluorides in a lot of things. But, you know, everything's good at a certain level, you know, because fluoride at too much is not good for you.
Right.
So we trust our health officials to regulate the water for us.
Very good information. Now, is there a certain population that you serve beyond? Is it just general, or?
I treat anybody from 6 months all the way up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
If they can sit in the mother's lap, then I'll take a look at them.
That's great.
If they're in a wheelchair, when they're 95, 100, I'll see them then, you know?
Fantastic.
Because you got to keep those teeth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we appreciate all that you've done, because you've had a lot of people smiling, I'm sure. Now, are you able to recognize your work when you're around the city and somebody flashes a smile?
In certain situations. Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's good. Now, how does a dentist become a musician? Which one?
Well,
I was lucky
because I grew up in the New Orleans public schools, and we had good music teachers.
That's right.
We had good music teachers. So I was blessed from the get-go. And I was the fourth of five kids, so a lot of my other family members did play some instrument. And so I could kind of just sit back and see what they were doing and just kind of take it from them. And
so
I picked up the trumpet, and we had great music teachers in our school systems, which I owe a lot of debt to them for their guidance and professionalism, because they were true career educators.
Well, I can certainly attest to that, being exactly the same as you, coming up in the public school system and getting that firsthand experience to music. It changes your life, and it affects it in a great, great way. And I think just makes you such a well-rounded person. So I can see how easily music, you know, is still a part of your life as you're in your profession, because you really can't put it down when you love it.
Yeah, I was just talking to the guy yesterday who books our bands for the Mardi Gras parade, because the band that I have, we play in 6, 7, 8 parades every year.
Wow.
And he told me yesterday, I'm not sure if we're going to have the parades due to the pandemic.
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see.
Some adjustments. Well, speaking of the pandemic, and I know that it's been an adjustment for everybody in life. What was your typical day like before COVID-19 became a part of it?
Well, there was always something to do. Always something to do. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I wear tennis shoes when I'm working, and usually at night I'd be wearing my good shoes, my hard leather shoes, to go out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because something was always going on.
Something always. And I'd wear a tie every day to work, but, you know, there's no functions to go to.
Yes.
Much after your day of work. So. Yeah. It's definitely an adjustment.
Mm-hmm. So how did your practice change once you found out? Because you're obviously very close and up close to persons and patients when you're caring for them. So what types of changes did you have to address?
You know, to be honest with you, I keep a very low profile practice. So I don't have many employees. So it's a very personal type of practice. Mm-hmm. And I just see one patient at a time.
Okay.
So I've also already practicing that way. I don't let people coming in and out. I keep it very safe.
Mm.
And I like to keep it that way. So I'm very low stress.
Yeah. So you were ahead of the curve on that.
I had already adopted that way. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure it's a more difficult for other practitioners. I mean, it's just like after Katrina, you know, I had a small office, small practice, and I do a lot of procedures myself. I don't delegate to a whole lot of other personnel.
Okay.
So I was able to pick back up right then. And thank goodness my office didn't flood. I sandbagged it before Katrina hit.
You were very
And I was the only office in this building that could keep working.
Really?
The water just rushed all through the courtyard. Yes. So I was very fortunate that I was able to treat patients, and a lot of people didn't have a dentist after Katrina.
Well,
it was like a war zone around here. It was rough.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. And we actually just recently commemorated 15 years since that. And I tell you, it just almost doesn't seem like it's been that long, because the memories are still so fresh to what everybody experienced in their own way. So, you know, but what a statement to be able to make, that you were able to pick back up pretty quickly after each. So what difference do you see in how you got back to work when it comes to Katrina and the pandemic?
Well, I mean, I was ready to work at any time, whenever they said we could. So I was lucky and I didn't lose power for Katrina. My phones worked. I didn't flood. And for the pandemic, you know, I just did what the state told us to do, what we could do. And if people needed me, I was ready.
Mm.
Ready, willing, and able.
Yes, I can tell. That is wonderful. And now, did you play music a little bit more, just personally, to maybe soothe and ease the minds of people or even yourself?
Well, I've been getting together with some friends, and we've just been doing a little singing and playing and doing a little YouTube and a few little small impromptu gatherings, you know, like you might have heard around town other musicians are doing.
Yes. Well, I know Zoom has become very popular because if you were not doing Zoom, then people quickly figured out that was a way to connect to friends and family and people and to actually keep doing what they enjoyed doing. So did you find that out of all the preparations you made through the years, did the technology side of it increase in your area?
Well, I mean, Zoom has helped because a lot of webinars, you know, you can keep up with what's going on. So all our CE, continuing education,
yes,
is pretty much by Zoom these days. So my webinar that I heard a couple of weeks ago talked about air circulation and infection control and how to keep the air in your office. And I'm lucky that I work in the building I'm in because I get to open a window.
Oh,
I get to bring in fresh air.
Wow.
And that's what's the most recommended thing if you can do it.
Yes.
If you can have fresh air. So I got an AC vent blowing one way towards the back, which is recommended. And also I have fresh air facing me. So like I said, I'm very low stressed. I'm very fortunate.
That is, yes, you are very fortunate. And it's such a great recipe for everybody else to really pick up on.
Because exactly.
need it to continue to recover and to just maintain some mental health through all of this, because we know this has been really stressful for a lot of people. There's been so much of loss of lives and just so many unanswered questions. Have you had, in your ability to be low key, been able to help other people who maybe have had more close relationships that they've lost or had bad
experiences? You know, people have been pretty, you know, staying healthy for the most part that I've come in contact with. Okay. When patients come in, I ask them, have they had any family members or any close friends? And I mean, thank goodness I have not had any answers coming from them that they've lost anyone. So I'm happy that that hasn't happened in my close circle.
Yes.
I'm sure it's happened. I just haven't come in contact with those people yet.
Yes. Well, you know, that is fortunate. And of course, I know the approach that you have is going to help anybody that comes your way who would have that experience, because you've got the music, you've got the right spirit, you know, so that will help anybody to at least know that they're on the right path to getting better. So let me ask you, when it came to Katrina up to now, what did you miss before you knew anything about a pandemic? When it was Katrina, what was it that changed the most for you over the years?
So when Katrina hit, after Katrina?
Yeah, after and before you even thought of a pandemic, what is it you said, you know, I just still miss that from Katrina. It just not, it's not the same.
Well, the interesting thing about Katrina was, is that because the building that myself and Dr. Akula practice in, this building was one of the only buildings along with other Touro buildings in this neighborhood, it didn't flood. So this was prime office space, especially post-Katrina. So the New Orleans Musicians Clinic set up in one of the courtyards right down. So I was the dentist for the Musicians Clinic.
Oh.
And so I had the opportunity, but like you were saying before, help people. Right after Katrina, I was one of the maybe three or four dentists in the city that were hired or contracted out through the Musicians Clinic. And that was a very,
had to be rewarding.
It was a great experience.
Yeah.
It was a great experience. And to this day, I've met so many great people.
I was about to say, did you meet people that you may have never thought you would meet or?
Right. So one door opens, you know, one door closes, another door opens, you know?
Absolutely.
And you just have to be ready for that next door to open if it needs to be open.
Yeah. And so now that we've had this pandemic, we've actually lost, I know even our great, the Marcellus family has been affected. And of course, New Orleans greatly by the loss of Ellis, you know, Marcellus, and just so many other artists that, you know, have been affected. And so that really says something about our music culture, because we look at those figures as, you know, so important to identify New Orleans when they go out and when they represent us in different places. So they are the face in many ways of what we do here in New Orleans, not just music, the food, of course. Now, are you a foodie? Is that the right question?
Well, how's that saying go? Do you live to eat or eat to live?
There you go.
So I'm pretty much, I'm more eat to live.
Okay.
For the most part, because I'm kind of, I stay away from the carbs.
You have
too
much,
you know.
You have to be aware of it. Yeah. At least a little bit more in New Orleans.
Yeah, because... but I'll tell you, I mean, later on I can tell you the best po' boy place in town.
Okay. We won't tell everybody. We'll just go
ourselves. No, right. Best roast beef po' boy in the area. I'll tell you a little bit later for sure. So that's right on my mind right now.
Okay.
I mean, I'll pass up 20 other places just to go to that one place.
All right. And so have you checked it out since the pandemic's been going?
They're
back and up and running?
Yeah. Okay, it's open. It's open.
Oh, yeah. We got to get there then. I got to find out what that is. Well, everybody, we are enjoying a great conversation. This is Dr. Title. He is a local general dentist here in New Orleans and a great musician. And I love to be able to pair that together because I myself love music. And so I'm excited because he might play another tune for us before it's all said and done. But we definitely want to know, what is your outtake on the pandemic in terms of, I know you haven't had the personal experience of a lot of loss, but what's your outlook on New Orleans? Because of course, as you said, our Mardi Gras and parading season may not happen because people are still recovering and learning how to cope and live with what we're dealing with, COVID-19.
Yeah, it's going to be a great adjustment. I mean, we've been adjusting all along the way. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to even be ready for more adjustment because we do love our Mardi Gras times, and it really makes us unique compared to the rest of the world. So we just have to keep a positive outlook on it and just hope that that life can get back to a more normal way soon.
Yeah.
The sooner the better.
Well, a whole lot of creativity has gone into helping people get out of the house, which they have been really ready to open those doors. And so I hope that a lot more creativity can come to even make some type of celebration like that happen, because it really is one of the reasons why people are distancing, because we're known for not doing that. So that's going to be interesting to see how that comes about. What's your opinion on the vaccine and all of that that's kind of quickly being developed for everybody? Do you feel hopeful?
I believe so. I think technology has probably come a lot further, even the last 4 or 5 years since one of those last pandemics or epidemics had broken out.
Mm-hmm.
So looks like all full steam ahead. Mm-hmm. So I do have trust in our public health and government that will. Mm-hmm. We'll get one soon and hopefully get more immunity out there, and hopefully it'll just go away.
Yeah. So what is your recommendation for someone who would want to come and have you serve them and be their dentist? Is there something they need to do ahead of time, or just look you up, or what's the best way to contact you?
Make sure you start flossing first. you got to floss. Let the floss be boss.
Oh, I love it.
We got to floss because that's important. It'll make your dental visit and other health issues be so much better for you.
Yeah.
So
what is the person who comes to you, what is their biggest complaint? Because I can just hear somebody saying, I just don't like to floss. What is the biggest complaint that you get when somebody comes to you?
It's usually some sensitivity, or it could be a chipped tooth, you know.
Okay.
Because as we're getting into our older years and people are living longer, and because of fluoride, people are keeping their teeth longer.
Yeah.
People are keeping their teeth longer.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing, but it could be more maintenance is necessary. So teeth will get brittle.
Mm-hmm.
Teeth will chip. So if you feel something's not right, don't let the pandemic stop you from seeing your dentist, because we do take precautions, and you know, we use dental dams as isolation dams that can help lower the risk of transmission of this disease.
And of course, everyone's wearing their masks, so, and they've got 1,000 designs. Have you seen the ones yet with teeth on them?
I have, and They definitely, I don't know what's going to happen for Halloween this year.
Oh my God. Is it scary? I don't know. Did it kind of shock you when you saw that?
I'm not sure what the protocol will be, but I'm sure there'll be some good masks out there.
Yeah, that at least has already been done, so it won't be something brand new that people will have to try. Well, let me ask you, because I know that on the shelf in the store, there's at least 50 different types of toothpaste products. What is your favorite, or what do you recommend that people go? What's the go-to toothpaste for everybody?
I really think a toothpaste that has sensitivity protection and tartar control.
Mm. So we shouldn't go for the quick fixes like the, do you like the whiteners and the brighteners?
They're okay. They're okay. Since you mentioned that, be careful of certain mouthwashes.
Oh.
Because certain mouthwashes have a certain ingredient in them that can stain your teeth.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. So if you get a mouthwash, it might be best to get one that says for whitening. So they have some mouthwashes that do say to help with whitening, because if you get a mouthwash that does propose whitening along with everything else they propose, it's less apt to have that chemical that might stain your teeth.
Okay.
I'm not going to mention any yeah. brand names, but right. be on the lookout
okay.
for certain mouthwashes. But there's a certain chemical okay. called acetylpyridinium chloride.
Oh,
that's a long one.
Goodness.
That's a long one.
I might have to put that on the screen.
Acetylpyridinium chloride.
Wow.
And it will stain your teeth. So
really?
You have to be careful. Okay. Read the ingredients, and you heard it from me.
Okay. Well, we need that right advice, because we all want that white, bright smile, and we want to be able to be pleasant. Well, at least once the mask comes off. Mm-hmm. We want people to be able to see the smile, to know that, you know, we're greeting them in a very positive way. So we're going to talk more with our guest in just a moment. But I wanted to say, if this is your first time stopping by, if you're enjoying this video, please hit the like button and let me know in the comments what you think. I'd love it if you would subscribe, of course, and hit that notification bell. You'll be the first one in the row when I bring up the newest video. So don't miss it. And of course, let somebody know. Now, let's get back into the podcast.
Okay, so one of the things that we want to mention when it comes to hurricanes, we are in hurricane season, and we definitely usually have an active season, typically around August, which is right where we just left. And like I said earlier, we just commemorated 15 years of Hurricane Katrina. Now, you have been here your whole life, so you remember even before Katrina that one of the worst hurricanes was Hurricane Betsy. We had Camille and so many names
yeah.
that are just etched in our memory. So what do you recall about
Betsy
that?
Was September 9th, uh-oh. 1965.
Yes.
September 9th, 1965. My father was a veterinarian.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed open, you know, he stayed with the animals, you know, he came back home that night, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the eye of the storm came over the house.
Oh my goodness.
Nobody used to evacuate back then, because right. they didn't really have good technology to predict
mm-hmm.
way ahead of time what the storm was going to do. Nash Roberts, you know, he had the marks a lot
yes.
that he would write, you know, on the board, and whatever Nash said, that's what we did.
Absolutely.
So Nash would call the shots, you know. It all depends on what Nash said.
Yeah.
So we do miss Nash to this
absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely. That he was the authority.
He had a way of making everybody feel comfortable,
mm-hmm.
you know. But
absolutely.
And when that Betsy came, oh, I mean, goodness. It was quiet when it came over the house.
Wow.
And I just remember it got really shaking the house, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness nothing really broke.
Yeah.
The only thing that broke really, I mean, trees broke, limbs broke. And the 17th Street Canal, the canal over there, the lower Ninth Ward.
Yes.
The Industrial Canal.
That's
the
right.
one that broke. The Industrial Canal broke.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, as a little kid, people talking about how they had to go up in their attics.
Yes.
You know, this is before social media
mm-hmm.
and all that. You know, it's just if the news showed it, then you'd learn about it.
Mm-hmm.
If the newspaper would report on it. And then when Katrina came, that's when those stories started coming up, you know?
Right.
And that was from 1965 to 2000. That was 40 years later.
Yes.
40 years later, people yeah. started talking about going back up into their attics, having to cut through their attics
right.
to live.
Having to have an axe.
Having to use that axe
that's right.
to open up.
Yeah.
Get into their attic
mm-hmm.
and get to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And we just said, gee, that's... I can't imagine that happening.
Right.
And then it happened.
Yeah.
Katrina.
It is interesting because, and it speaks to the culture and where we live, because we are used to having an attic where many people are used to having a basement.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have basements because we're below sea level, so we don't need any water coming in from below, and we have it enough during hurricane season. Well, you're absolutely right, and I really think that adds to the style and the way that houses are built, because you have to be prepared for what if you have to go into your attic, and it's absolutely unbelievable to many people who don't
mm-hmm.
live here.
And the water came,
mm-hmm.
the water came, because we lived on Elysian Fields, which is near Robert E. Lee,
yes,
which is maybe a mile from the lake.
Mm-hmm.
and the water came all the way, I guess, maybe from the Florida Canal. I'm not really good on my geography and exactly what happened, but the water came all the way to maybe our front walk-up step, you know, but that's how high it was, and the National Guard came and helped evacuate people because the cars were barely drivable.
Yes.
The streets were flooded, and we tried to go to City Hall for something, I can't remember, but we made it out of the city.
Yeah.
I do remember that, and we stayed at a relative's home in near Elon Highway, which is higher and drier. It's closer to the river, I guess. Yeah. So that's where we ended up after Betsy.
Yeah, and just to reminisce on, you know, Betsy, and many people remember Camille.
Camille was, what, 1969?
Yeah, just, you know, every year just presents another threat, but then we just have those that really will live with us because of the damage that was done. And so recently we were getting ready to try to get out of town again because we had Hurricane Marco and Laura, and we did, unfortunately, it missed both of them, New Orleans, which we're grateful for, but of course we have our neighbors that we definitely are concerned about because they took us in when it was our turn from Katrina, and here we are, our people from Lake Charles have been tremendously affected, so we now have more people in New Orleans than we've had in quite some time, and so we are opening our doors and welcoming mats to try to provide services for them because we definitely understand what it is. And so now we are in, you know, we're just busy this year. 2020 has been eye-opening to say the least. And so now we're ending the year with hurricane relief, so to speak, and having to help people get back on their feet, which we know will take some time because the hurricane comes and does such great damage. But the most important part, again, is that life is still here, that they are alive and able to rebuild. And so it is much, much to remember. Hurricane season, you know, these months always keep us on edge. And so now I think we have a better understanding of when they tell you to leave, we leave.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's not worth staying.
No, technology has helped us to really understand a lot, and I think that speaks a lot to the pandemic as well. Being able to really stay connected with people, because 100 years ago, as they spoke about the last pandemic at that time, there was not this technology where you could get the word out and be so connected to your family, even though you're not physically with all of them. The technology has really opened the doorway to great inventions and innovativeness and ideas,
and hopefully we can chronicle this and have good historical facts that can help for future generations.
Absolutely, we definitely see the benefits of it. So well, once again, another great memory that we can hold on to and be grateful from where we've come. So if you stay around to the end of the video, you just might get what we call in New Orleans a little lanyard. So don't miss it. Now, is this your only instrument that you play?
I do a little percussion, just, you know, when I'm not playing.
Okay.
But,
primary one.
That's the one.
Okay. Well, I love
it. I'm not like Trombone Shorty. Trombone Shorty can play, actually plays trumpet, I think, better than trombone. But, he's the best trumpet player, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, as they say, when you got it, you got it.
Yes, a definite gift, especially to the city of New Orleans.
Sure.
Now, so what is your favorite song? Is there a certain type of music that's your favorite?
Well, I mean, I like New Orleans, you know, style jazz, you know, the good old Dixieland music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's tried and true, as they say.
Absolutely.
I don't think it's going anywhere too far.
No. Can't do that. That's a definite stamp on New Orleans. And
yeah, just get your feet moving. Mm-hmm. I remember one time I played in a group, and we also do a hospital parade.
Okay.
And we do a hospital parade every year. We go to Touro Infirmary. Mm-hmm. We've gone to surrounding institutions in this neighborhood. And we went to one hospital, and a man was an amputee, a double amputee.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that caught me the most was that his stub, which is beating to the beat, it was moving to the beat.
Yeah.
And when I saw that made it all worthwhile.
Yeah. and let you know he was feeling it, and it was really reaching him. So
yeah. If they can't come to Mardi Gras, we'll bring it to them.
There you go. That's right. We definitely can deliver. We can figure that part out.
Well, this year I'm not sure if we're going to be able to do the hospital parade because the pandemic. So
I tell you, I've seen some creative music. Even Frenchman Street, which was so popular with music, I have seen the balcony become really, really a hot spot for people enjoying music. They've been sitting kind of a distance away, and the musicians have been taking to the balcony. So we might have to do a little France and Paris type of Italian version, and sort of merge that and bring it to New Orleans as well. So
maybe the second lines can start up again, but we'll see. Depends what phase we're in.
That's true. Yeah, we've been in phase two for quite a while.
Like, I just want to play by ear.
Yeah, there you go. Nothing wrong with that. So what, you have a favorite memory as we wrap up of New Orleans? What do you just absolutely love about New Orleans? You've been here all your life. You said you're not trying to leave. So what is it about New Orleans that just grabs your heart?
It's not too big and it's not too small.
I love it. That's right. And 300,
it's just right, just the right size.
Just the right size. And can fit everybody.
I reckon so.
Everybody's welcome. Well, yes. It's been absolutely a pleasure to meet you, speak with you, and learn about, your years here, your experience. And I know that we're going to see you here for years to come, adding smiles to everybody. And it is such a rewarding career that you've had. And we do pray that everything continues to flourish for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Dr. Tidal, everyone. And so, are you going to leave us with another song?
Why not?
All right. Let's go out New Orleans style.
Yeah.
Okay. Here is something we like to call in New Orleans a little lanyap. It's Dr. Hilton Tidal and yours truly. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Oh, it was good for my mother. It was good for my mother. It's good enough for me. Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
There we go. All right, everyone. Until next time, that is it for another Focus podcast. And thanks to the musician and dentist, Dr. Tidal.
Thank you for sticking around to the end and enjoying the Focus podcast. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe if you enjoyed this video. If you know someone doing great work in the community and beyond, drop it in the comments below and let me know about it. I'd love to meet them and let everybody else know exactly who they are. If you want to see previous videos, you can click the link in the description. And also thank you to our sponsors, the Akula Foundation and the Canon Hospice. I'm Singing Lisa, and until next time, stay focused.